Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 15, Parashuram, the Lord's warrior incarnation, text 25. Savaratnam tu tadrishtva.
Savaratnam tu tadrishtva.
Atmaishvaryatisayanam.
Atmaishvaryatisayanam.
Tanadriyatagniutram.
Tanadriyatagniutram.
Savilasa sahaihaya.
Savilasa sahaihaya.
Saha.
Saha.
Kartavirajan.
Kartavirajan.
Vai.
Vai.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Ratna.
Ratna.
A great source of wealth.
A great source of wealth.
To
indeed.
Ta,
ta.
The Kamadenu.
Kamadenu.
In the possession of.
In the possession of.
Jamadagni.
Jamadagni.
Dristva.
Dristva.
By observing.
By observing.
Atma Aishwarya.
Atma Aishwarya.
His own personal opulence.
His own personal opulence.
Atishayanam.
Atishayanam.
Which was exceeding.
Which was exceeding.
Ta.
Ta.
That.
That.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Adriyata.
Adriyata.
Appreciated very much.
Appreciated very much.
Agnihutriyam.
Agnihutriyam.
In that cow.
In that cow.
Which was useful.
Which was useful.
For executing.
For executing.
The Agnihotra sacrifice.
The Agnihotra sacrifice.
Sabilasaha.
Sabilasaha.
Became desirous.
Sahaihayaha. Sahaihayaha.
With his own man.
With his own man.
The high highest.
The high highest.
Translation. Kartavir Arjuna thought that Jamadagni was more powerful and wealthy than himself because of possessing a jewel in the form of the Kamadenu. Therefore he and his own men, the high highest, were not very much appreciative of Jamadagni's reception. On the contrary, they wanted to possess that Kamadenu, which was useful for the execution of the Agnihotra sacrifice. Purport. Jamadagni was more powerful than Kartavirajuna because of performing the Agnihotra Yagya with clarified butter received from the Kamadenu. Not everyone can be expected to possess such a cow. Nonetheless, an ordinary man may possess an ordinary cow, give protection to this animal, take sufficient milk from it, and engage the milk to produce butter and clarified ghee, especially for performing the Agnihotra Yagya. This is possible for everyone. Thus we find that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises Gauraksha, the protection of cows. This is essential because if cows are cared for properly, they will surely supply sufficient milk. We have practical experience in America that in our various ISKCON farms, we're giving proper protection to the cows and receiving more than enough milk. In other farms, the cows do not deliver as much milk as in our farms because our cows know very well that we are not going to kill them. They're happy and they give ample milk. Therefore, this instruction given by Lord Krishna, Gauraksha, is extremely meaningful. The whole world must learn from Krishna how to live happily, karma svabhavajam. Those who belong to the third level of human society, namely the mercantile people, must keep land for producing food grains and giving protection to cows. This is the injunction of all Bhagavad Gita. In the matter of protecting the cows, the meat eaters will protest. But in answer to them, we may say that since Krishna gives stress to cow protection, those who are inclined to eat meat may eat the flesh of unimportant animals like hogs, dogs, goats, and sheep. But they should not touch the life of the cows, for this is destructive to the spiritual advancement of society, of human society. Even dogs are in the list. Let's see. Just quickly to get a little context, I read a few of the previous verses that we understand what's going on. King Pariksit inquired from Sukadev Goswami, what was the offense that the Kshatriyas who could not control their senses, committed before Lord Parasaram the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for which the Lord annihilated the Kshatriya dynasty again and again. So that's the crucial question. Sukadeva Goswami said, the best of the Kshatriyas, Kartavira Arjuna, the king of the High Highest, received 1,000 arms by worshipping Dattatreya, the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana. He also became undefeatable by enemies and received unobstructed sensory power, beauty, influence, strength, fame, and the mystic power by which to achieve all the perfections of yoga, such as anima and lagima. Thus, having become fully opulent, he roamed all over the universe without opposition, just like the wind. Once while enjoying in the water of the river Narmada, the puffed-up Kartavira Arjuna, surrounded by beautiful women and garlanded with a garland of victory, stopped the flow of the water with his arms. Because Kartavira Arjuna made the water flow in the opposite direction, the camp of Ravana, which was set up on the bank of the Narmada, near the city of Mayasmati, was inundating. This was intolerable to the ten-headed Ravana, who considered himself a great hero and could not tolerate Kartavira Arjuna's power. But poor Ravana was out touring to gain victory over all countries, Digvijaya, and he had camped on the bank of the Narmada River near the city of Mayasmati. When Ravana attempted to insult Kartavira Arjuna in the presence of women and thus offended him, Kartavira Arjuna easily arrested Ravana and put him in custody in the city of Mayasmati, just as one captures a monkey, and then released him neglectfully. And all in front of his women. Once, while Kartavira Arjuna was wandering unengaged in a solitary forest and hunting, he approached the residence of Jamadagni. The sage Jamadagni, who was engaged in great austerities in the forest, received the king very well, along with the king's soldiers, ministers, and carriers. He supplied all the necessities to worship these guests, for he possessed a accommodating cow that was able to supply everything. And then we came to today's verse, where Kartavira Arjuna was not happy with that reception, and he wanted that cow. So we can see that power corrupts. Whatever power it is, whether it is physical strength and power, or intellectual power, or mystic power, and Kartavira Arjuna was well provided with power. But he began to see that power as his own. Although it is said, Purusamnirisu, I am the ability in man, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore we learn that whatever is in our possession, that we are the caretaker. Just as we write in a book sometimes, in the care of a person. And the idea was that I'm not possessing anything. Remind myself that I'm not possessing this book. I'm just the caretaker of it. I'm not possessing these powers. I am the caretaker of it. I'm not possessing these muscles. I'm simply the caretaker of them. Right? I don't possess this brain. Simply, I am the caretaker. So if we take that attitude, then we may appreciate. That we are a servant, and at the same time, we have opulences. Because we do. This dilemma arises. I am so fallen, I have no qualification. What do you mean? You have a PhD. I absolutely have no qualification whatsoever. But what about your PhD? Well, of course, I'm a little bit more intelligent than most people. I mean, what can I say, it creeps in. It creeps in somehow or other. I happen to have the right passport. Different, or the wrong one. these things. Somehow or other, we are influenced by the things around us and identify with them. And it is very subtle, very subtle. Therefore, sarvupali vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam risikena risikesa sevanam bhakti uchite. That we are nirupadi. Nirupadi means no identification with any external designation, which we automatically will get. Everyone will get. And that is cultivated by remembering that it is about satisfying the senses of Krishna and not our own senses. So we see Kartavir Arjuna was preoccupied in enjoying his own senses. Then he went after a superior personality. And we see that although Kartavir Arjuna had performed great austerity and by dint of his austerity had become very powerful, that nonetheless, he was not the equal of Jamadagni. That hurt. That just hurt. That there was someone greater than him. So this, and he became envious and inimical, and was not appreciating the appropriate reception of Jamadagni, and who could do so because of his kamadena, his wish-fulfilling desire kama, which could supply anything one could desire. Sometimes we see such descriptions of kamadenus. We see that Vasistha, he also has one, and then there's Vishvamrita, who was the king at the time before he became a great sage. He also wanted the kamadenu, and he had a whole army. And so he sent the soldiers to fight, and then Vasistha arranged, called out to the kamadenu, who arranged soldiers that were bigger and more powerful than the soldiers of Vishvamrita. So Brahma Tejas is exceeding the Kshatriya Tejas, the power of the Kshatriyas. The power of dedication to cultivation of knowledge, which is the main preoccupation of the Brahmanas, always exceeds trying to attain material power. In the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his time, the Gaudiya Math had a magazine called The Harmonist. It started off as Sajjana Toshin, and then it became The Harmonist in English. And in there we have a collection of all these harmonist articles, and they're bound in 70 volumes, and it's interesting. In one of them, there was a description of Varnashram, which was interesting because it said that if you are in any way interested in the dealings of this world, then be a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, or a Sudra. And if you are interested in transcendence, then be a Brahmana. And it was a good, it was an interesting point, sort of like a little highlighting a little bit the difference in orientation. So that was Jamadagni, completely interested in transcendence and not interested in this world. Yes, maybe still having some desires to fulfill in this world, maybe not zero interest, but still very interested in the mode of goodness, very interested in transcendental knowledge. And that distinction comes. Vaishnava, of course, goes to another level because Jananam Jayate Sudra, by birth, everyone is a Sudra. Veda Sanskrit Pavitvija, by performing a sanskara, by performing properly purificatory rituals. In other words, by remaining within prescribed Vedic culture at all points in life, then one can become twice born. The second birth comes from acting according to prescribed duty. Veda patet bhavet bhavet vipra. By studying the Vedas, one can learn how to perform various rituals, to perform, to invoke auspiciousness. That is the vipra, who is a brahmana preoccupied with karma kanda. And then brahmana janakati brahman. So the other day Jayadvaita Maharaj told me that in the beginning of our movement, they were trying to distinguish Brahma from Brahman, and they added an N. Rai Ram added an N. So ISKCON calls it Brahman, right? But nobody else does. Just, that's Rai Ram. Maharaj said, well, I guess we'll have to live with it. But it's these little things, it's amazing how it crept in and how it's become part of the culture. So it's actually Brahma. For a Dutchman, no problem. You can do that. Anyhow, so the Brahmana then is preoccupied with Brahman, right? Or Brahma. He is preoccupied with the eternal, transcendental nature of things. That's his whole meditation. Constantly reminding himself, these are temporary forms, therefore they're illusory. Because whatever you see is not really there in the sense that it's changing every moment. Some molecules are falling out of your body right now and will remain in this temple room. You walk out different than you came in. Then it will be breakfast and will be absorbing lots of molecules, and they'll also become part of our bodies, and again something changes. So changes are constant in the material world. But somehow or other now, the Brahmanas are concerned with the constant, with the permanent, with the eternal. And that is their focus. Therefore, Sat, eternity, is their understanding. Aham Brahmasmi. But of course, One cannot touch the tip of the toe of the Lord by such a process. That one can only do by devotional service. Therefore, it is said in the sixth canto, the discussion comes up as a prelude to Ajamil and that pastime between Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadev Goswami about how all this purificatory activity of the Vedas is still not sufficient. One sees people are making mistakes, become involved in trying to enjoy the material energy and then perform tapas and try to rectify that. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Still, it comes back. But then, kichit kevalaya bhakcha avasudiv parayana agandum virti kanshneena niharam eva bhaskara. Then it says, but if we are absorbing in Krishna, then we can be safeguarded from all that, then such sinful tendencies can just disappear as fog disappears by the presence of the rays of the sun. So it is said. So by turning to Krishna. And then if we take it a step further and we read the Chaitanya Chandramrita from Prabodhananda, who was the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, then we can see how he describes that. He says that where is such renunciation found as in the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are ecstatically chanting the holy name. In Bhagavatam we find Balavan Indriyam Gramo Vidvamsam Apikarsati, that even the senses are so strong that even a man of learning is still struggling. And we see that it is even a distinction is made by those who are worshipping Krishna and those who are worshipping Lord Chaitanya and who are chanting the holy name with the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his special mercy. They are the ones that can become so absorbed in ecstasy that they can easily overcome the material energy. The example of Ajamyu is given by Srila Prabhupada, who says Ajamyu took birth in a Brahmana family. Ajamyu went to, from his early childhood, everything was right, everything was proper. Whatever his parents taught him was correct. He didn't have to go into a whole reorientation, as most of us have to do. We are brought up in a particular way, and then you come to the point where you start to question it and say, wait a minute, I was told this is the truth, and now I realize it may not be. Actually, it may not be beneficial, and it takes years to sort of find your own way. And Ajahn didn't have to do that, because everything he learned was appropriate. And yet, Ajamil, still, he fell down. Prabhupada said, then what is our chance? Then what is our chance? If he fell down, then what about us? Then how we can avoid it? We didn't have all those sanskaras. Then what is our chance? Yes, but we have the holy name. And the holy name will protect us. Not only are we ourselves becoming qualified by the chanting of the name, but the name will also protect us. Just the Krishna in the form of his name will be present and will just intervene and interfere. Lord Chaitanya is there. Srila Prabhupada describes in Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 9, he is describing there how Lord Chaitanya, wherever there is kirtan and prasadam, there Lord Chaitanya is personally present. Say so, and Prabhupada mentions the Sunday love feast, and that Lord Chaitanya is personally present, the guest of honor. And that changes everything. That makes it possible. That makes it possible to go to Amsterdam and not get involved with all the nonsense, which is rampant. The year that the king was installed, that year we couldn't go the normal route because they had locked off so much of the city, Dam Square, and so much, it was all controlled. So we had to go through the prostitute area. We couldn't get around it. It's huge, and usually we avoid it, but that time we couldn't. And they were all there, fully decked out. But they liked the kirtan. They did. The Harinam hadn't been there since a long time, because the first temple in Amsterdam used to be there. And Lord Jagannath actually were installed there. Lord Jagannath, the deities you see here, they were installed in the red light district in Amsterdam, right in the thick of it.
By Srila Prabhupada. Yes, that's right. Who personally came there. And somehow or other, all that is possible simply by the protection of Lord Chaitanya. The devotees survived. And the prostitutes liked the devotees, it is said. They heard about these boys and that they were sleeping on the floor, and they even brought a bed for them. So they did devotional service also. They started to mother them. You know. These boys, they sleep on the floor. The mother heart came out. So that's it, you know. That is the idea, that in this movement, ladies are referred to as mother. Nowadays, that's not always appreciated, you know. I know that, but the idea is that that instead of being seen perceived as a sex object, right, which is very difficult to avoid in a female body, because it is the reflection of Radharani's body, who has more power to attract Krishna than Krishna has to attract her. So therefore, ladies have more power to attract, being a perverted reflection of the spiritual female bodies. More power to attract than the male bodies. But then we go for the mother identity. I mean, like in the Bhagavatam, breasts are described, right, as payodhara. And you know what payodhara means? Milk containers. I knew you would like that. I like it myself. Milk containers. Anyhow. But bringing out that identity of being a mother. So the Vedic culture is a culture which allows sense enjoyment, but it is considered so secondary. And now it is the ultimate. That's what life is all about. Enjoy. I go to America, I get drilled on the border. They look at my passport, which has too many stamps. Why you have so many stamps? I travel a lot. Who pays for it? They drill me, they ask so many questions, and then find this MRU, what is that? They said, Mauritiana. I said, no, it's Mauritius, a holiday island. Oh, holiday island, then it's okay. Yes, good. So then, okay, you can come in. So finally they tell me, yes, okay, yes. Welcome to the United States. Enjoy. You say. It was nothing special, you know. It's not like anything. I mean, in many ways, the air in Europe is better. Yeah. The quality of the food in Europe, in many ways, Europe is better, actually. You know, this morning, Radhadesh, nice, fresh air. You try? Of course, it's also there in New Vrindavan, I can't deny that. But not in New York, that's for sure. So what to do? All these illusions. So our movement is obviously looking at Jamadagni. Is looking. We need both. I have presented an analogy, and I'll end with that one, which is the cord, the tightrope, and that there's a tightrope high in the circus tent, and someone is walking on it, but not easy, with a big stick, you know. just holding the balance. And of course, you know, it's exciting because someone might fall. But there, the light's not on there, but there is a net. Right? So the tightrope in the top is the tightrope of love of God. And if we can walk on that tightrope of love of God, oh yes, in the beginning, one may need a stick, like sannyasis do, right? Supposed to walk on that tightrope of love of God, keep the balance. I have one upstairs, actually. and then, so that's where we're supposed to be. But depending on how much love for Krishna we have, if the love for Krishna is poor, then the court is very narrow, and then it's very difficult. If we have a lot of love for Krishna, then the court becomes very wide, and it's like a road, practically. And we can just dance on that road. That's easy. But if our love is meager, then the court is thin, then we have any risk to fall from there. But we come to the net of the mode of goodness, which is full of intricate injunctions of prescribed behavior. This way, that way, and that's where we are then. So we are in between those two. When we cannot be on the court of love of God, then we at least be in the net of the mode of goodness. Right? At least we take shelter there of prescribed duty. And then Jamadagni is a role model for us. Is a role model who, in the midst of opulence and power, which is where we live, you know, your car and your this, that, the power of a car. So we have lots of power. But like Jamadagni, we stay, instead of Kamadenus, we have credit cards. And in that way, we are looking at Jamadagni like a role model to at least be in the mode of goodness, although we should, of course, dance on the court of love of God. Any questions? Any comments?
So Maharaj has said that the lower varnas, like Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, they are more materially inclined. And does it mean that if some of these sections, if they are looking for realization for transcendental knowledge, does it mean that they should strive to cultivate brahminical qualities to get towards a brahminical lifestyle, or they can just execute their prescribed duties and also achieve the same result?
Okay, so the question relates to what I quoted from the harmonist, that that class of men and women who have interest in the material energy, they are either in the position of Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra, and then those who are interested in transcendence or brahmanas. Then should it be that those who are interested in the material energy, that they should strive to cultivate the mode of goodness? And the answer is yes. Entire system of Varna Ashram is designed to bring people to the mode of goodness. Everyone. Everyone is meant, a Brahmana is meant to become more also. A Brahmana is meant to become transcendental. But Varna Ashram is a stepping stone system of gradually bringing people to the mode of goodness from whatever their position may be, and then from there. The Brahmana is meant, he is looking at transcendence but situated in goodness, and then he is supposed to make the transition. Now, That's the culture of Varna Ashram.
But when devotional service comes into that culture of Varna Ashram, one can, from any position,
engage in devotional service and become purified. So devotional service will automatically purify us. Tadarajas, tamobhava, kamadobhyasya, matevi, tanvidisti, tamsatupasidati. That through devotional service we get rid of the influence of tamas and rajas and we become situated in sattva. So we become situated in goodness through devotional service. So devotional service is the shortcut. It goes very quickly. Just like Chandra Chandradoy Natak, it is described that you don't have to, that ordinarily when you want to go from A to B, you go by the road. Because if you go over the rough terrain, you can do, but it actually takes longer. Yeah? You go by the road, then you can easily reach your destination. Although the distance is longer than as the crow flies, still, to walk the path the crow flies, there's too many bushes and thorns and this and that, difficult. So we go by the road. It said, but at the time of a flood, at the time of a flood, we don't go by the road anymore, we go just by boat straight. We can go straight. So this Sankirtan movement is a flood. It's just flooding. It's coming again and again. Just more kirtan, more japa, more devotional service, more and more. This movement is a flood. So because it is a flood, now we can go straight. And therefore, now to go the entire path of Varna Ashram is more secondary. And it is there as a support structure, but it is not our main focus. So it's not really that now our meditation is, I'm going to be a Brahmana. Like in this festival, some people will take second initiation. Right? And it's not that, you know, we may say, now they're going to be Brahmanas. But the real purpose of the second initiation is not to become a Brahmana, it's to become a pure devotee. That is clearly the objective. So, yes, we lean on the mode of goodness. It's our net. It's our fallback position. But we're reaching out to the court of pure love of God. And there, we'd like to see some court dancing. Anybody else? Yes?
I'm just curious, is there such a thing as a Vaishnava Teja?
Is there such a thing as Vaishnava Tejas, just as there is Kshatriya Tejas, the power of the Kshatriya, the power of the Brahmanas, the power of the Vaishnavas? Yes, of course. Of course there is. It was explained that Kartavir Arjuna had mystic powers, like anima, lagima, that means he could travel on the rays of the sun. He could make himself smaller and go in between the atoms. He had all these powers, so it is said. But then in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, it is explained, there are mystic powers arising from the mode of ignorance, some dark ritual. Involving bones and these kind of things. Or mystic power arising from the mode of passion, mystic power arriving from the mode of goodness, and also mystic power arriving from transcendence. So yes, Vaishnavas also have Vaishnav Tejas, but they are not trying to cultivate that separate. They leave it up to Krishna. The cat way and the monkey way, remember? I mean, the monkey is holding on by its own strength. So in the monkey way, we're trying to build up more personal power. Shamans. The shaman is trying to build up more and more power. So there's all this, this is spreading everywhere, the pagan shamanism. Yeah? People are becoming pagans. And shamanism is big. But it's all shakta. their shaktas, the building of their power. So, but that's the monkey way, that's trying to elevate oneself by one's own power. Monkey holding on to the mother with its own little hands and feet, actually. But the kitten way, the cat way, the kitten is lifted by superior power. So that is our aim. So we are not striving for mystic power. Also in the Bhagavatam you have that description of the astrologer who told a poor man, you're actually very rich, your father died in a foreign land, he left a treasure. Now, but listen carefully, if you dig to the south, there will be wasps and drones of the wasps and drones of Karmakanda. If you dig to the east, you become possessed by a ghost, the ghost of impersonalism. And if you dig to the north, there will be a big black snake which will devour you, the snake of mystic power. So when it's mystic power, again, that will devour us. So the Vaishnavas are not looking at their tejas, at their power. But they have it. They have tejas. Krishna gives them tejas. They have power. But we are not, we take the humble position and the position of dependence on Krishna. What's the use of your power anyway? Hanuman was powerful. Very powerful. He's lifting mountains and all these kind of things. So what? Yeah? What is it in comparison to the power of the Supreme Lord? I used to read books before I was a devotee, lots of books, and I read the books of Carlos Castaneda. And these books there are four books, and they're describing how he went to Mexico and met this Mexican Indian medicine man who became his teacher, and he taught him mystic powers, and he learned how to run through a forest at night without hitting a tree. He could cross waterfalls by stepping on energy points. So I bought number two after that. I read number two, and he had all these things, and then finally in number four then he encounters death, and there is death. And said what happens is that by his mystic power he is able to ward off death for a while, and it becomes a dance, and he can delay death, and then in the end he dies. I took the books and threw them in the garbage can. What's the use of all of this? All that trouble, rubbish, this is just rubbish. So we're not focused on the tejas, we're focused on the mercy. Because the mercy is always greater than the tejas. The mercy is greater than the power. So power, what do we care about power? We care about mercy.
Maharaj, you're mentioning that the Brahmana is situated on goodness but looking upon transcendence and this whole tightrope and net analogy. And how devotional services actually connect to many platforms. And then I feel like it's such a struggle to even reach the level of moral goodness. On one angle, I'm struggling to get to the net. But on the other angle, our activities are connected to love of God. So then the picture gets a bit warped. Am I below the net? Am I on the net? The net, like.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes we somehow or other fell through the net, below the net, and then what do we do now? And then it's a whole trip to get back up to the net. What to speak of going further up? And you become a bit discouraged, because a few times you got below the net, then you think, well, I'm happy to be in the net, that's already high for me. I'm just striving for that. I can't even think of love of God. Yeah, but whether we think of love of God or not, Lord Chaitanya is giving it to us. Namma Haniyaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishna Chaitanya Namakur Tushan. So we're getting it anyway. although we don't even qualify for the net, but somehow this movement, it's flooding everything. So we're going to get a dose of it, whether we want or not. So yes, it's the focus is mercy, not qualification. Mercy. But Prabhupada said his mercy comes not only like in a mystic way, you know, by a beam like emanating from his hands or something. It comes also in a practical way, in the form of instructions. So therefore we must take shelter of these instructions. And these instructions will lift us above these lower tendencies. So the trick is just get very busy fulfilling Prabhupada's instructions or the Guru's instructions. Like when you get very busy and you have to organize things for Rata Yatra, or you have to run student preaching and then you're very busy, then you have no time to think of the mode of ignorance. It may still hit sometimes, but there's not enough time for it. So this movement, therefore taking responsibility in this movement for devotional service is very powerful for us who are otherwise too weak to even be in the net of goodness, to even reach the mode of goodness. Okay, and thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.